Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, and coming up in this hour, classic sitcoms. Later on, we hear Ronald and Benita Coleman in the Halls of Ivy. But right now, it's My Friend Irma, an earlier broadcast of the series from November 29, 1948 on CBS, with John Brown, Hans Conried, and Marie Wilson as Irma.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship when other friendships have been forgotten. Theirs will still be hot.
And all the birds have migrated south where they'll remain until spring. Which reminds me of the girl I live with, Irma Peterson. Not that she's gone south, because she's right here with me in New York City. She may be here, but believe me, her brain is in Miami. Now, don't misunderstand. I love her. And there's really nothing wrong with her except that... Well, for instance, the other day I was reading the paper and I said, Irma.
Yes, Jane.
This is very interesting. It says here that soybeans have 1,001 uses. They're even using them to make paint with.
Soybeans? Gosh, that must make the paint awfully lumpy.
Yep, that's my Irma. A living contradiction to the scientific theory that no one can live in a vacuum. Oh, well. She's still my roommate, and I'll stick up for her anytime. Right now, we're both in the apartment, and everything is quite normal, I think. Oh, no, it isn't. Irma is covering up the calendar with her hand. Irma?
Yes, Jane?
Why are you covering the calendar with your hand?
It's a secret.
What do you mean, secret?
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Well, why the whispering?
I want to give myself a surprise party.
Oh, no. Look, honey, no one ever surprises themselves.
Oh, yes, they do. Remember the time I added up 8 and 8?
Yeah.
And I got 16?
Yes.
Well, wasn't I surprised?
That was an accident. But about your birthday party, honey, you don't have to go around whispering because I've already made plans for the day.
Plans?
Yes, honey, I'm giving you a birthday party, and I've invited all our friends.
Oh, Jane, it's so sweet of you. You're the best friend a girl ever had.
Well, thank you, honey.
Sometimes I wish you were twins. Then if one of you got married, I could still go on living with the one that got jilted.
That's a nice thought. For Journey's End. Now here, sweetie, here's the list of names I invited to your party.
Oh, let me see. Oh, Mrs. O'Reilly and Professor Kropotkin. Oh, and Richard Rhinelander and the Martins and Al. Oh, Jane, I wish you hadn't sent Al an invitation.
Why, don't you want him to come to your birthday party?
Yes, but I'd rather have him think it was a Halloween party. I don't want him to know I'm getting any older.
Don't be foolish, Irma.
Well, you know what they say. A girl should always marry a man older than she is, and I'm afraid I'll lose Al.
That's ridiculous. Al must be at least 3 years older than you are.
But he won't be if I keep on having birthdays.
Oh, Irma, stop worrying. Besides, I can't understand what you see in that unemployment bench warmer.
Jane, you don't know the real Al. I'll admit he doesn't work and he has no ambition. But to me, he's the man of my dreams, and I hope he never wakes up.
You know, I think you'll get your wish. Now, tell me, honey, do you okay this invitation list as is?
Oh, it's fine, Jane, but I would like to invite one more person.
Who, some friend of yours?
No, some friend of yours. Richard's mother.
Mrs. Rhinelander?
Oh, I know she's society and lives on Park Avenue, but she seemed to like me the 2 times she was here before.
Oh, but, honey, I don't know how to explain it, but, well, Mrs. Rhinelander's always so busy with her high social affairs, like charity bazaars, horse shows, riding to the hounds.
Yes, I know, and shooting grouches.
Grouches?
Yes, those little fat ducks.
Irma, that's grouse. Honey, that's not what I mean. It's just that, well, frankly, I wouldn't know how to go about asking her.
Well, couldn't you ask Richard to invite her?
Well, I don't know, honey. Richard and I have only just started seeing each other again, and then... Oh, no, Irma, it's preposterous.
Oh, try, Jane.
Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Janie and Irma, my two little ballet dancers. One on her toes, the other still spinning. Excuse me, a little joke I picked up. Oh, what difference does it make?
Why, Professor?
Well, girls, I received the invitation to Irma's party tomorrow night, and I was wondering, would you like I should bring my fiddle? Maybe you'll want to have dancing.
Oh, that'd be swell, Professor. Have you decided what kind of costume you're going to wear?
Costume?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, sweetie. I thought we should make your birthday a little different this year, so I decided it's going to be a costume affair.
Oh, well, I was thinking I would come as a sea captain, Jamie, because every time I walk into my room, I feel as though I've gone down with the ship.
Gee, I wonder what I should wear. Maybe I'll come as Pocahontas, then Al could come as John Smith and save my life. What are you going to wear, Jane?
Well, I thought I'd like to come as Joan of Arc.
Oh, I see. Then Richard could come as Noah.
Sweetie, you've got the wrong arc, but the right idea.
Irma, darling, I want to get you something nice for your birthday, and since I'm an old friend, I want you should tell me what you'd like.
Oh, Professor, you don't have to bring me a present. You work hard for your money, and as they say it, it isn't the gift, it's the value.
I know what you mean. It's the thought behind it.
Yes, so why don't you save your money and just give me the thought behind it?
Never mind, Irma. I'll think of something nice. Tell me, Janie, is Mrs. O'Reilly coming to the party?
Well, I sent her an invitation. Why do you ask?
Well, I just want to be prepared. I think I'll come as a straw man, so when that old crow shows up, I can scare her away from me.
Look, Professor, will you do me a favor?
Janie, for you, anything in the world.
All right. Then at the party, try to be nice to Mrs. O'Reilly.
All right, Janie, but it's a cruel world. And speaking of cruelty, I think I'll go back to that torture chamber I call my room. Goodbye, girl.
Well, all right, Irma, let's not waste time. I want to straighten this room up.
Well, I'll help you, Jane.
Okay, but only with the understanding that you stop sweeping things under the rug. All our furniture is standing at an angle. Why don't you use the Hoover vacuum cleaner?
Because the Democrats won this year, and I didn't think it was patriotic.
Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey.
Got your invitation, chicken, and want you to know I'm getting you the best present Tiffany's can offer.
Oh, Al from Tiffany's?
Yeah, just as soon as my latest deal comes through.
Oh, not another deal. What is it this time? Putting straps on beer bottle caps and selling them for wristwatches?
No, would conflict with prevailing patents. Now, this one is a special device for thugs who attend a hottie. It's a blackjack with built-in band-aids. So when the victim is slugged, he automatically gets first date. Pretty creative, don't you think?
Oh, it's great. Jane, you've got to admit it. Al is one who is always on his toes.
That's only because his landlady has locked him out and he's trying to get in through the transom.
Ignore her, chicken. What plans you made for your party?
Oh, gee, I'm so excited. What are you going to wear, Al?
Well, that's not my problem. Got something else on my mind. And in that case, there's only one man to call.
Who, Al?
Who else but...
Hello, Joe?
Al, got a problem. Tomorrow is Irma's birthday. Want to get her a gift. What do you got? Brass knuckles?
Oh, no, Al. No costume jewelry.
What else, Joe? A beautiful miniature of Abraham Lincoln? Hey, where'd you get it, Joe? Oh, you just finished printing some $5 bills.
Any day now, they're going to take our phone out.
Please, Jane, I'm talking to a gentleman. Say, Joe, I think I'll run over and see Dallinger, the jeweler. What do you mean he's all tied up? Oh, your boys just left him and he's all tied up. Well, I'll be over anyway. Thank you and goodbye, noble friend. Come on, chicken. I want you to help me pick out your gift.
All right, Al.
Come in.
Hello, Jane.
Well, Richard, of all people, is anything wrong?
Oh, not at all. I just wanted to check this invitation I received to Irma's birthday party. It says costume party.
Well, what about it?
Are you kidding, Jane?
No, Richard. You've got to wear a costume.
Oh, fine. And at this late hour. Well, I'll think of something. I know. I'll wear a jailbird outfit.
Oh, Richard.
Then if the income tax man comes to question me, I can go with him without changing clothes.
Richard, I just got a thought. Irma wants me to... Oh, Richard, it's preposterous, but... Well, Richard, do you think that your mother would come to Irma's birthday party?
Why, I'm sure she would, Jane. Mother's very fond of you, and she says Irma's the most refreshing child she's ever met. I'll tell her she's welcome.
Oh, more than welcome, Richard.
And as for you, young lady, when are you coming back to work for me as my secretary?
Well, I'm thinking about it, but there are a lot of problems involved.
Oh, there are there? Well, maybe this will eliminate some of them.
Richard, you're bribing me.
Not a bad bribe, was it?
No. I've kind of got the feeling that the overtime work could be fun. Well, I'll see you at the party, Richard. Good night.
Good night, Jane.
She's not here, Al.
Hey, chicken, look at this note on the table. It's from Jane.
Well, what's it say?
Irma, Mrs. Rhinelander is coming to your party.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Just a second, chicken. Do not think this is fair. You and Jane inviting your friends? Why can't I have a friend of mine to the party? Show them what a swell gal I got.
Oh, I guess that'd be all right, Al. Who did you wish to invite?
There is only one man I would invite.
Who, Al?
Who else but Joe.
Joe?
Yeah, he's a regular guy, and he wants to meet you. I admit, if you want references about him, you have to go to the police station. But Joe's a pretty lonely guy. He don't get out much. And when he does, he's trailed.
But Mrs. Rhinelander is coming, and I don't know how she and Joe get along. And what will Jane think?
No one has to know Joe is here. He'll be wearing a disguise and a mask.
Okay, Al. Tonight, the upper world will mix with the underworld. Gee, maybe I better not come.
Why not, chicken?
Because everybody says I'm out of this world.
Well, here it is, the night of the party, and since Richard is coming, I want to have everything he likes. Now, let's see. He likes Paul Masson champagne, a mild cigar, and strong coffee. Of course, with Al, there's no problem. Al likes anything he can get as long as it's for nothing. As for Irma, she, too, has been contributing her best efforts. First, she baked a cake, and I must say it came out very well. Then she covered it with frosting, which looked very nice. A little later when I looked at it, Irma had lettered, "Happy Birthday," very beautifully across the top in large raised letters. I didn't know what she used to make the lettering until I happened to notice two empty tubes of Pepsodent next to the cake. Irma.
Yes, Jane?
Tell me something. Did you use Pepsodent for this lettering instead of frosting?
Yes.
Why?
Well, frosting always gives me cavities, and Pepsodent is good for the teeth.
With that remark, I sent Irma out for ice cream and called Mrs. O'Reilly to help me get things ready. Is everything on the table, Mrs. O'Reilly?
Yes, Janie. Is there anything else I can do?
No, and thanks a million. You've been a wonderful help.
Oh, glad to do it, Janie. By the way, do you have any strong glue?
Yes, there's a tube right there on the shelf.
Oh, thank you. I need it for my new eyelashes. You know, there's an awful lot of winking to be done at these parties, and I don't want any accidents.
Well, I'm sure we'll all have a good time, and I do hope you and the professor will get along.
Oh, I hope so too, Janie. If I do say so, I have quite a crush on the man.
Sure. The professor just likes to tease you.
Oh, maybe so, Janie. Oh, I understand Richard will be at the party.
Yes, and he's bringing his mother. I hope it'll be a nice party and that nothing goes wrong.
Oh, James. Oh, Miss O'Reilly.
Irma, didn't you pick up the ice cream I ordered?
Well, I didn't want to take it because there was something wrong with it. It was smoking.
Sweetie, that's from the dry ice it's packed in.
Dry ice? Oh, I thought it tasted funny for ice cream. You want me to go back?
No, I'll have them deliver it. Irma, you said something about a surprise guest coming this evening. Who is it?
Oh, 5 feet two, eyes of blue, kitty-kitty-coo, kitty-coo-coo.
Irma, I'm in no mood for charades. Who is it?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, Jane, it's getting late. We better get into our costumes.
My goodness, it is getting late. I'd better get right upstairs and get into my costume.
Well, what are you coming as, Miss O'Reilly?
Well, I felt that I'd like to wear something Spanish. So I asked the professor for a suggestion. And he said I should come as a hacienda. Jane. Hacienda.
Why, that's a large house.
Oh, wait till I get me hands on him. No wonder he said I had a perfect veranda for it.
Well, here we are at the party. The festivities are underway, and the little apartment really looks very gala. People are coming in wearing the most unusual costumes, and with everyone wearing masks, it's impossible to tell who is who. Irma, I recognize. She's wearing a little girl's dress and carrying a piece of meat in her hand. Irma, who are you supposed to be?
I couldn't find any sheep, so I'm Little Mary Had a Lamb Chop.
Great. And the professor I recognize, he's dressed as Satan. Professor, what made you pick the costume of Satan?
Well, I thought it would be appropriate since the room I live in reminds me of Devil's Island.
Oh, here comes someone in a very unique costume, an old witch.
Hello, Jane.
Why, Mrs. Rhinelander, I didn't recognize you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's just grand seeing you and Irma again. Happy birthday, Irma, dear, and many of them.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Rhinelander, and many of them to you.
Oh, well, I'd rather not think of it. After all, I'm 17.
Gee, you don't look as old as a Gettysburg Address.
Irma. I know what you mean. Oh, and Richard, look at you in a policeman's uniform.
Well, it was all I could get at the last minute.
Oh, well, this should be fun. Maybe later on I'll wind up in the arms of the law.
Yes, and maybe you'll get a life sentence. You know what I mean?
tell me, Irma, where's Al?
Oh, he's late, and gee, I can't understand it. He generally arrives the same time the food does.
Well, I wonder what can be detaining him. Hello?
Hello, Jane?
Al, why aren't you here at the party?
I'm across the street in the drugstore. Been watching your window and do not like what I'm seeing. You got a mean streak in you.
Well, what do you mean?
What's the idea of inviting a cop to the party?
Cop? Oh, Al. That's Richard.
That guy always did have a sadistic sense of humor. Of course, ain't got nothing personal against cops. It's just that they have made all my friends exclusive. I gotta get a pass to see him. So either Richard takes off that uniform or I don't come in.
Well, hold it, Al.
Anything wrong, Jane?
Oh, this is unbelievable. Al says the sight of your uniform unnerves him and he won't come in unless you take it off.
Al won't be here. Oh, without Al, it won't be a birthday party. I might just as well not have been born.
Now, don't cry, Irma. If Al feels that way, the solution is simple. Jane, Do you have a sheet?
Why, yes, Richard. What for?
I'll take this cap and jacket off and wrap the sheet around me, and with a towel turban, I'll be the Sheik of Araby.
Oh, Richard, that's so sweet of you. Now all you need is a camel. You know, one of those horses with the two gas tanks.
Put out just a minute. Al, Richard is going to change his costume, so hurry over. Goodbye. Oh, Richard, you're wonderful. You can change right in that room. Oh, Professor, looking for something?
Look, she's here, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Why, Professor, that witch is Mrs. Rhinelander.
Irma.
Mrs. Rhinelander? Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought it was Mrs. O'Reilly without a costume.
No, Professor, that's Mrs. O'Reilly over there in that Spanish costume, the one you just finished dancing with.
How do you like that? And I thought that heavy veil over her face was supposed to give her an air of mystery. It just shows you you can never tell a book by its cover. And here I almost started reading a horror story. Mrs. Rhinelander, may I be honored with this dance?
Yes, Professor, I was waiting for you to ask me. Oh, the radio's playing a zumba. Can you dance to this music?
Why not? Don't you think I know a waltz when I hear it?
Oh, Irma, isn't she sweet?
Yeah. And just think, someday you and Richard will be married and you'll have a baby and she'll be your grandmother.
Yes, Irma.
Miss Stacy.
Oh, look, another policeman. You weren't invited.
I know. I want to talk with you two. Step into the kitchen here.
Now, look here, officer. This is a private party. I don't know what's going
Stacy,
on here,
I'm
but...
I'm from headquarters. We got a tip. There's a character here named Joe.
Joe? Irma? Is that Al's friend, Joe?
I won't talk. I'm no stupid pigeon.
Lady, we have nothing against Joe except that we want him for questioning. I don't know what disguise he's wearing, so I'll just go out there and mosey around.
Irma Peterson, how could you invite that character?
Well, Al begged me, and when he does that, it brings out the mother in me. I couldn't turn down my own son. I mean,
can't you realize the humiliation we're facing? Richard is here, Mrs. Rhinelander. We'll all be taken away in the police wagon.
Why?
Why? Honey, let me explain to you. Joe is, well, in the vernacular, Joe is hot.
Oh, that's silly. How can he be hot when Al says he just got out of the cooler?
Irma, you don't understand. Richard will never talk to me again.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jean.
Sorry? You're always sorry. You were sorry the time you put peroxide in the turkey dressing because I said I liked white meat. You were sorry the time you dipped my lipstick into molasses because I said I wanted to be sweet to Richard. You're always sorry. Now they're coming for us. Come in.
Hey, Jane, what's the idea of double-crossing me? Richard is still wearing that uniform.
I've got news for you, Al. That's not Richard. That policeman is the real McCoy, and he's looking for your friend, Joe.
Joe? Holy mackerel. Excuse me.
Irma, what are you doing?
Oh, Al says all they serve in jail is bread and water. I'm making some sandwiches.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm leaving.
Oh, Jane, this is a most delightful party. Really, it's too bad it's not going to be written up in the newspapers.
It still may be. Excuse me, Mrs. Rhinelander. Now, look, Irma, crying won't help. We've got to face the music.
Oh, I'm not thinking of that. I'm just heartbroken about Al.
Al? What about him?
Well, look at him dancing with that tall, shapely blonde.
Where? Oh, yes. I noticed Richard give her the eye, too.
He's hugging her. Now he's squeezing her hand. Oh, I hate all men. I despise them. If I was president, I'd pass a law making all men illegal, even on holidays.
Pull yourself together, Irma. They're coming this way.
I won't even talk to him.
Good night, chicken. Lovely party. Happy birthday. I'm taking Miss Delilah home. Come, my pet.
Oh,
don't cry, honey. It's all you can expect of someone like him. I'm surprised this hasn't happened before.
Delilah, I hate that name. It was a Delilah who ruined Napoleon.
Honey, Delilah was Samson's sweetheart.
Oh, she probably ran around with everybody. I hate men. I'm through with them. I'm going to take that piece of wedding cake I've had under my pillow for 3 months and eat it. I'm through.
Now, don't get hysterical, honey.
Oh, it's you, Al.
Yeah, changed my plans, chicken. Just put Delilah in a cab and sent her home.
Well, you should have gone home with her the way you were drooling over her.
Well, she's a pretty snappy number. To coin a phrase, Delilah is hot in 6 states. You see, chicken, Delilah is Joe.
Joe?
Yeah, had to get him out of here. That policeman was on the make, so to speak. And Joe don't like the way them guys pinch.
Oh, Al, now I understand. And all the time I thought, oh, I'll never doubt you again.
That's the spirit, chicken. And to make your birthday party something you'll never forget, I'm going to give you a kiss for every year. How old are you, chicken?
Oh, what's the difference? You start kissing me, time will fly.
And you know something? That's a silly remark, because if there's one person who doesn't know what time it is, it's my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma is produced and directed by Cy Howard. Mark Levy writes the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean, and it is brought to you by Pepsin and Toothpaste with Irium, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company.
My Friend Irma, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from CBS, heard on November 29th, 1948. Fans of the series may have noticed a change in voice of Jane Stacy, Irma's friend. The part was played by Joan Banks, who filled in for Kathy Lewis when she was out ill. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now one of Hollywood's most popular British couples, it's Ronald and Benita Coleman, starring in The Halls of Ivy. Penned by Fibber McGee and Molly writer Don Quinn, this NBC broadcast from May 28, 1952, called The Stolen Mummy.
Voice of America presents The Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
Good evening, this is Ronald Coleman.
And Benita Coleman.
Inviting you to join us again on the campus of Ivy College.
And now, The Halls of Ivy.
Surround us here today.
Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall, president of Ivy, has more than ordinary fortitude and forbearance. But even he has moments when he gives way under the many disturbances inevitably encountered in any given day. At the moment, he appears to be quarreling with a small magazine, turning the pages with more than usual vigor and vehemence. Fact which is noted by his noteworthy wife, Victoria, who says...
Are you in a pet?
Yes, dear. And the juxtaposition of the two words is singularly apt. By one pet, I assume you mean a person specially cherished.
Oh, I do, as I said in my marriage ceremony. To you, that is.
Thank you, dear. And if by the other pet you mean a fit of peevishness, yes, I am particularly petulant. And the provocation is patent.
Patent provocation? Well... Shall I open another can of peas?
Yes, you'd better, because I have a parcel of pertinent, peevish, and pungent paragraphs to present. About publishers who plague the public with protruding pages in their pesky periodicals.
When you do that with any letter of the alphabet, go ahead, try it with X.
No. No, there are limits to my alliterative talents. Ah. But look at this little magazine.
No. Bathing girl on the cover. Clever idea. Wonder who thought that up.
Yes, the lengths to which publications will go to find excuses for bathing suit covers.
I always wondered why they call them pin-up girls. And where could they put a pin? But what are you complaining about?
Well, suppose I wish to read the advertised article on page 12.
Mm-hmm.
I open the magazine, and what happens? With fiendish alacrity, it leaps open to page 6, exposing a cardboard insert suggesting that I take a 6-month trial subscription.
Well, why don't you tear it out?
All right. There, it's torn out. Now, I try again to turn to page 12.
Yes.
This time, the magazine automatically springs open at page 104, and the other half of the cardboard insert thrusts itself at me.
Oh, well, after this, I'll get to the magazines first and tear out the inserts myself.
Oh, my dear, I wouldn't. Such small tribulations are good for me. They build character.
Oh, well, darling, if your character hasn't been completely built, furnished, and rented by this time, I don't know.
Now today is officially started. I'll get it. Hello, Dr. Hall speaking. Spencer? Thomas Spencer? Well, I'll be busy until sometime late this afternoon. What about tomorrow? Oh, well, if it's really urgent, come over about 4:30 then. Not at all. Goodbye. Vicky, do you know a student named Thomas Spencer?
Thomas Spencer? No.
Well, according to him, he knows I'm busy, but he has to see me.
Naturally. A matter of life and death.
Well, he didn't say it, but that was the implication. Now, where was I?
When?
Well, I must have been saying something. I usually am, given a 3-second break in anyone's conversation.
Well, now, let me think. Yes. Well, during your second waffle at breakfast, you said something about something being yummy. Well, I think you said yummy.
I said yummy. William T. Hall, Ph.D., LL.D., said yummy. Are you sure it was yummy?
No, it could have been dummy or chummy or mummy.
Oh, mummy. Yes, yes, of course. Mummy.
Of course what, Pappy?
No. not mummy in the maternal sense. Mummy in the Egyptological sense. Ours is missing.
Our mummy? I didn't even know we had one. I must go through that back closet again someday and see what's going on there.
No, darling. I'll explain. Ivy's museum has, or had, a replica of a mummy. Queen Hatshepsut, of Egypt's 18th dynasty.
And from the looks of them, most of them did.
Did what?
Dynasty.
Oh, please. please. No, my dear, de mortuis nil nisi facetious.
Oh.
Anyway, our mummy has disappeared. I doubt if it was mislaid, because Queen Hatshepsut was a large girl.
Well, how about Fearless Officer Grogan? Has he broken out the bloodhounds? Or is it too late for bloodhounds when you're 3,000 years old?
Well, Grogan agrees with me that it's probably a student prank. He thinks that Hatshepsut will be lined up with the others at graduation to receive a diploma.
Let's see. Alphabetically, then, she'd be standing between Bones Harvey and Pookie Hauser. That narrows it down, doesn't it? At least the old girl will graduate mummy cum laude.
Yes, and probably be elected the girl most likely not to talk while dancing.
Do you know, Dolly, I sort of admire the nerve of the undergraduates. The idea of stealing a mummy just for the fun of it.
Well, I admire their energy and even impudence up to a point, but my appreciation ends with such moronic activities as dropping water-filled paper bags on the heads of passers-by.
William, Tommy Spencer's here to see you.
Ah, yes. How do you do? Come in and sit down, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
I must commend your punctuality. It's exactly 4:30. But you sounded very anxious to see me.
Yes, sir, I was.
If you want me to disappear while you discuss this with Dr. Hall, Tommy, I have a new jar of vanishing cream upstairs I can use.
Oh, no, ma'am.
I don't seem to recall, Tommy. Well, what year are you in?
Freshman, sir.
I see, a freshman. Hmm? Well, did your faculty advisor suggest you come to me with your problem?
No, sir. It was my own idea.
Well, it's nice to finally have an opportunity to meet you, even though it took a problem to bring you here.
Thank you, ma'am.
Problem? Ah, yes. Well, Tommy?
I beg your pardon?
You do have a problem, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, well, we'll leave that for the moment. Tell me, is Ivy living up to your expectations?
Oh, sure, Ivy's fine.
Oh, only there's so much work piled on your head that you're wondering if you'll ever make the grade and get to be a sophomore. Is that it?
Oh, I think my grades are all right.
Oh, they're all right.
What are you majoring in?
Public speaking.
I'm sorry, we do not have a larger public presence. What is your minor?
English, sir.
Well, it's nice to know English if you're going to do any public speaking. You don't have to use colored slides.
Do you intend to specialize in any particular period?
Not that I know of, sir.
Naturally. But the first year is more or less exploratory. In my own case, I thought I'd be most interested in the history of the English novel. But much to my surprise, I found a powerful attraction for Chaucer.
Oh, you find Chaucer amusing too, Tommy, huh?
No, ma'am. I don't know Chaucer yet.
Well, when you do, I'm sure you'll find him as rewarding as I did. He is as modern as any current bestseller. In fact, the Pilgrims of Canterbury are as alive today as they were during the fort... Yes, but of course you didn't come here to talk about Chaucer, did you?
No, sir. I didn't.
Yes. Well, to come back to you, Tommy, tell us some more about yourself. Are you living with your family here at Ivy, or are you from out of town?
Oh, I'm out of town.
Well, it may seem harder that way at first, breaking old ties and things like that.
Yes, breaking away and being on one's own is an inevitable part of everyone's education, Tommy. But the process of adjustment is never easy, is it?
I guess not, sir.
It's a matter of learning how to accommodate oneself to a new environment and to make independent decisions.
Yes, sir. Well, I guess I'd better go now and... Thanks a lot.
For what?
For seeing me.
Well, are you sure there isn't something more you wanted to talk about, or have we covered the subject thoroughly enough?
Yes, sir, we have.
Well, it's been very nice to meet you, Tommy. I hope you'll drop by again soon for another chat.
Yes, ma'am, I will. Goodbye, Dr. Holmes.
Goodbye.
Thanks for everything.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Tommy.
Well, what was that?
Well, that, my darling, was a freshman to whom the ordinary rules of human logic do not apply too closely. To think of him as a public speaker opens up new vistas of quiet oratory.
He's probably heard the old saying, better keep quiet and be thought a fool than start talking and prove it. Well, do you suppose he was so nervous he just couldn't find words?
Well, he may have found them, but he obviously decided against using them. I think I'm going to turn in, Ricky.
Oh, you darling. I'll finish my book in bed. Ray Dowell should put me right to sleep. Incidentally, what a wonderful publishing idea. The Yawn of the Month Club. Do you want a sandwich or something?
No, dear. I had an excellent dinner. No, I couldn't touch a thing.
There's some nice cold ham.
No. I really couldn't, dear. Oh, no.
Some cold roast chicken, too.
No. There is? Ham and chicken, eh? After all, that'll make a splendid sandwich. Mm. Just a tiny one, of course. You know. Perhaps just a sliver of cheese. And not too much pickle. Mm. Oh, and we mustn't forget the mayonnaise, must we, dear? Now,
how about that?
There's half a cold cherry pie, too.
Is there really? Well, perhaps I might have...
Oh, I'm sorry, Dagwood, old boy. Your tiny little 4-pound sandwich will have to wait. I wonder who this could be.
I don't know, but let's get rid of him quickly. I'm starving. Stay here. I'll find out.
No. I'm coming with you, me being the curious type. Besides, I can discourage whoever it is.
Nobody to discourage.
Well, that's funny. It's not Halloween, so...
Well, it may not be Halloween, but we do have an unbidden guest. Or is it Ghost?
Where?
Standing up right over there.
Where? Oh! Who's that?
There's nobody. Just Queen Hatshepsut all wrapped up in her sarcophagus.
You mean Mummy's come home?
Just wait a minute. There's a note attached to her. Let me get back on the light here. Vicky, listen to this. Dr. Hall, I got her out all right, but I can't get her back in. Help!
Morning, and Dr. and Mrs. Hall are discussing the problem of the stolen mummy which was left on their doorstep the night before.
Well, darling, I don't mind your keeping Hatshepsut here for a couple of days if you think we can spare Louisa. She's locked herself up in her room and she won't come out.
But, Vicky, didn't you explain that this wasn't a real mummy, just a facsimile?
Unfortunately, I used that very word, facsimile. And Louisa said, I don't care how it facsimile, it scares me half to death.
Now, Vicky, she didn't.
Well, you are. Ask her yourself. Through the keyhole. I don't think she'll open the door. But tell me, why are we keeping the mummy? Not that she wouldn't be the neatest weekend guest we've ever had.
Well, this is in the nature of a delaying action. You see, Vicky, if I were to comply with this desperate plea for help and return Hatshepsut now, the incident would be closed and quickly forgotten. But that might be an invitation for repetition. And one mummy on my doorstep is quite enough.
Toddy, I just had a thought. Do you remember that boy who was here to see you yesterday?
Oh, Tommy Spencer, yes.
Yes, well, maybe that's what he came for. Maybe he had some information. Maybe he knew who took the mummy and at the last minute decided not to tattle. Maybe he...
Maybe that's maybe now. Don't get up, Vicky. Louisa will answer it.
Yeah, not today, she won't. I'll get it myself.
Perhaps I'd better have a talk with Louisa, even if it's only...
Mrs. Hall?
Yes?
I'm Lynn Gordon.
Oh! Yes, I remember you, Lynn. You had a part in the freshman play, didn't you?
Well, a very small one. Mrs. Hall, I wonder, is there a chance that Dr. Hall could see me?
Oh, I think so. I'll use my influence. Come on in.
Thank you. I'll just stay a moment.
William, this is Lynn Gordon, one of our talented freshmen.
Hello, Miss Gordon. Come in. Sit down.
Thank you, Dr. Hall. If you're busy, I can come back later, but it's about the mummy.
Oh, well, in that case, Miss Gordon, we have plenty of time. What are a few minutes more to a mummy?
Well, don't tell me you took it, Lynn.
Oh, no, Mrs. Hall, but I...
Well, do you know who did?
Yes, sir, I do. But unless you insist, Dr. Hall, I'd rather not tell you the name. I hate tale-bearing.
Oh, this is not an inquisition, Miss Gordon. You voluntarily came here to tell me something, so why don't you just tell me what you came here to tell me?
Well, Dr. Hall, I know he's bound to get caught sooner or later, and I wanted to tell you some things about him so you won't be too harsh with him.
And is he aware of your sympathy and understanding?
Oh, no, Mrs. Hall. We're not close friends. I've spoken to him lots of times, but usually he just says yes and no and walks away, almost like he was scared.
He's not the type to go around plundering museums,
Well, that's just it. That's why I was so shocked when I saw him lugging that big box up the steps to his dorm. I just couldn't believe it. Dr. Hall, something's happened to that boy. He's been as quiet as a mouse all year. That is, until the last few days. And suddenly he started doing the strangest things.
Oh, I don't know what's so strange about stealing a mummy. It's perfectly normal student conduct.
Well, it's not normal for him. He's a good student, but the silent kind. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I think I do. As a matter of fact, I was somewhat quiet myself as a student. Wrote fairly good papers. I don't know, it seemed to lose my tongue when called upon to speak in class. I was known as William the Silent.
A likely story, I must say.
But, Lynn, what is so strange about this young man's being quiet?
Well, no, he isn't. The other day when our history professor asked him a question about the French Revolution, he suddenly jumped up and gave a 10-minute speech, all in French.
C'est formidable.
And then, well, last Saturday, there was a big gang in the malt shop, and all of a sudden he got up on a stool and said the drinks were on him. Well, he paid for everybody in the place. When we tried to thank him, he ducked out.
I like him better by the minute. He's eccentric in the right places.
If you consider our museum one of the right places.
Oh, well, I know it sounds like nonsense.
Yes, but with a bit of sense in it, perhaps. A boy who has apparently been under constraint all the year suddenly bursts into flower, so to speak.
Yes, and it's too bad Blossom Boy doesn't know what a good friend he has in you, Lynn.
Oh, but Mrs. Hall, Tommy doesn't... Oh, dear, now I've done it.
Oh, you haven't done anything but good, Lynn. And don't worry about revealing your friend's identity. As a matter of fact, Tommy Spencer came to see us yesterday.
He did?
Yes, and we're going to invite him for another visit. And this time I think he'll talk. We'll make college history by giving him a third degree before he has the first two.
Well, sit down, Tommy.
I believe you've met our friend over there, Tommy, Queen Hatshepsut, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
And am I correct in assuming that the problem you came to discuss with me yesterday had some connection with this mummy?
Yes, sir.
And in the course of our rather one-sided conversation, did you decide that instead of discussing the matter, it would be simpler just to leave the whole thing in my lap?
Well, Dr. Hall, I didn't think...
No, Tommy, you didn't think. Or you wouldn't have taken the mummy in the first place.
Oh, but I thought that all out.
I'll bet it took some smart thinking to work out this mummy napping.
Yes, you displayed some ingenuity in walking out of the Ivy Museum with a sarcophagus up your sleeve. Wasn't there a watchman on duty?
Yes, sir. But he was busy keeping an eye on things that sensible people might steal.
Well, I won't pry into your professional secrets, Tommy, but could you tell us why you took it?
Well, it's kind of involved. I guess it began 3 or 4 weeks ago, during the rushing season.
Has this something to do with your being a fraternity pledge?
No, sir. It has something to do with my not being a fraternity pledge. I mean, nobody asked me. And when I saw all the terrific things they made the pledges do, I figured the reason nobody asked me was because, well, nobody figured I could do them.
Oh, of course you could.
Thank you. So I looked around to find something that would prove to the fellows that I could. And I did. Only when I got that darned Egyptian coffin into my room and took a good look at it, it didn't seem to be so great after all. And then I wanted to take it back, only that wasn't so easy because now everybody was looking for it.
Oh, yes, you were really in a spot.
Yes, ma'am. What's the matter with me, Dr. Hall? Why'd I do a thing like that?
Well, Tommy, you've given us an answer yourself, but I imagine there's more to it than that.
Yes, sir.
You've wanted to be part of things on the campus to get attention, didn't you?
I guess so.
There's nothing wrong with that, Tommy. Except that you picked an odd way to go about it. And being a quiet boy, or at least reserved by nature, you stored up so much to say and do that the reservoir suddenly burst.
Your safety valve was tied down all this time and the spring broke.
Look where it got me.
Tommy, a great many people confuse attention with admiration. Conspicuousness with success. They think a stunt is an achievement and misbehavior a declaration of independence.
Yes, I think I see. Dr. Hall, I think you're right, sir.
Well, thank you, Tommy.
Oh, no. Thank you, Dr. Hall. Well, it's getting kind of late and I guess I'd better...
Just a minute. If you're going, I'd like you to escort a lady home on your way.
Certainly, sir.
Yeah, she's a real campus queen, Tommy. At Shepsut.
Oh, her? I mean it?
Yes, you will have the privilege of conveying Queen Hatshepsut and her sarcophagus back to the Ivy Museum.
Now? In broad daylight?
Well, as your good friend and mine, Shakespeare, said, foolery, sir, does walk about the orb like the sun. It shines everywhere.
But with everybody looking at me? Dr. Hall, I'll never make it. They'll kill me. And then there's Rogan the cop. He'll shoot me on sight.
Oh, now, I'm sure Dr. Hall will give you a safe conduct pass, Tommy.
Well, all right, but look, suppose somebody asks me how do I explain?
You don't.
Sir?
As long as you have embarked upon a career of personal exploitation, Tommy, you might as well use the well-tried public relations method of mystery. Exploitation uses the technique of the floating iceberg. 8/9 of it is underwater. The public sees only the visible 9th.
Yes, sir, but what...
So, you explain nothing to anybody. Just smile enigmatically and shake your head. Mona Lisa in gray slacks.
See, Tommy? Nobody will know you stole the mummy. And they might even give you credit for clever detective work in finding it. You'll be a big man on campus. A BMOC.
Just as Queen Hatshepsut was a big girl, B.C.
Golly, this is a new idea to me, sir. If I don't explain, I get talked about for something I'm not doing. They'll think I'm a nut.
Well, pay no attention to the old claim that it's the squeaking wheel that gets the grease. Just remember that it's the well-oiled machine that gets where it's going. And the difference between the squeaky wheel and the well-oiled machine is simply that when care of the axle is exercised beforehand, it won't be necessary to remove the nut.
Yes, sir.
Now, here again are Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Colby.
Good night, everyone.
Good night from all of us.
Good night. Good night. We'll be seeing you next week at this same time at the Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Colby. Tommy Spencer was played by Joseph Carbo, and Lynn was Sammy Hill. Tonight's script was written by Barbara and Milton Merlin and Don Quinn. Music composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Ken Carpenter speaking.
That surround us here today.
This production of the Halls of Ivy was broadcast with an actual audience present in the studio.
Halls of Ivy, on Tuned to Yesterday with Ronald and Benita Coleman, from May 28, 1952 on NBC. That does it for this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. Thanks for listening.